One ad featured Beyonce and has the internet buzzing.
Two tracks, Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages, out now.
Her voice is magic.
Those stories matter. That representation matters. That sound matters. You know, this sound is black music. This is what we started. And for her to just come with such a storytelling of her life, you know, 16 Carriages, like, that was one of my favorite songs I've ever made and produced in all of my life.
Okay, they ready. Drop the new music.
Hey everybody, I'm Alana Izzola, and I've worked in pop culture journalism and content creation for about 10 years now. And through my work, I've had the amazing opportunities of meeting some truly incredible people. But honestly, some of the best people I've gotten the chance to meet were actually the people behind the scenes. So I wanted to welcome you to a brand new podcast called Acknowledged, where we talk to the hidden heroes behind some of our favorite, most iconic moments in pop culture history. And one of my favorite moments in pop culture history would be the release of Renaissance. So today we're talking to Ink. And if you haven't heard of her, I guarantee you have, because if you have taste, she's probably had a hand in some of your favorite tracks. That includes three tracks on Beyoncé's Renaissance
and 16 Carriages on Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter,
which drops 1 week from today. If you're down to hear from Ink, and if you're down to hear from some of our other guests that we plan on giving flowers to, make sure you're hitting the subscribe button and hitting that bell notification so you never miss an episode. All right, let's get into it. Perfect. All right, Ink. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. We're going to get into a lot of things because I have a lot of questions, and I know you probably don't have a lot of time. Very, very busy, busy woman. So when I had the pleasure of looking through all your socials, your bio states that you are the hood Celine Dion. Like, what do we mean by that? What do you mean by the hood Celine Dion?
You know, that's just a nickname Fabulous, the rapper my friend gave me. Every time he see me, he always got a new nickname for me. So, you know, I'm always in there with all the rappers. They always call me the hood Celine Dion because I be in there singing and they say it sounds so angelic, and then they be on the bullshit coming in rapping and all that. So it's funny. So that's how I got that name.
That's iconic. That's iconic within itself. So I just kind of also want to just start from the top. How did you get into the music industry?
You know, the industry got into me because I was just out there. I started as a street performer. And I was just walking, playing my blues, playing my music up and down the streets. And then people was hearing my music. And they were like, oh, can you write me a song like that? And then I was like, all right, sure. So then I became focusing on songwriting. I was still an artist on the side, but a lot of people were just like, can you make me a song like that? And then that's how I got in, and then met a super producer. And we started producing, and then started going up there.
What was your first, like, big break? Like, oh, shit, like, I'm no longer a street performer. Like, I'm really doing this shit. Like, what was that moment for you?
Well, so I was always working with the rappers. Like, I remember with Treddy True Family in the studio one day. And I was like, dang, I felt like I made it. Because I started recording at, like, the biggest studio in Atlanta and everything like that. And so he was like, come on, Ink, I'm going to take you. And then he just started plugging me with all the different rappers. And then when I did my first actual placement R&B stuff, that's when I was like, oh, okay, I heard my song on the radio for the first time. It was Tamar Braxton. And she did the record that me and Polo did together. And it was on the radio, and Greg Street broke the record. And I was like, dang, man, this is what it feels like to hear yourself on the radio. And it was a song called Catfish.
I can't even imagine, like what was your energy when you heard it on the radio, like, for the first time?
I was outside the studio, and then they call me like, yo, turn the radio, go on the radio. And then I just out there listening to it, dancing, just, you know, full on excited, running around everywhere, jumping up and down, like, yeah. It was kind of crazy, you know what I'm saying? Especially when I had just went up to the radio station and I had to beat my way down to get up in there. And I was like, no, I'm the hottest thing in the city. If y'all ain't got me in the radio, y'all ain't got nothing. And then that's how I actually met Greg Street. And so from there, it just went up.
From there, rest is history. And then if we, like, fast forward a little bit, where we have to talk about Renaissance. How did that partnership happen? Like, how are you introduced
I was interested. Well, I don't know if you heard the story about the first time I actually met Beyonce. Well, it was second time, because the first time I froze up, we was in the club, the music was too loud anyways. I was just like, man, I just didn't feel like myself, because my thing is I always just talk to people how they naturally am, no matter if they're famous, no matter if they're not, no matter if they're a celebrity. I just have a way of language and jargon that, makes you feel included in all levels. So I just had to talk to people. So I didn't do that, and I felt like, damn, I've dropped the ball. But mind you, it was in the club, it was too loud anyways. So then when I saw her at the brunch, she did the same thing. She kind of walked straight into my direction. Nobody was talking to her. She had a security, and she just came in my direction, and I just stepped up, and I was just like, yo, what's up, girl? I'm tired of going back and forth with you about this. I'm doing your whole next album. What's up? She just started laughing. She just really liked it. She's like, why? First of all, you crazy as hell. I'm like, yeah. She's like, what's your name? And I was like, Ain't. I'm Ain't. I put the paint where it ain't. I do what the other niggas can't. She looked at. She's like, Ain't John, this is Ain't. Do you know Ain't? Ain't say she's gonna do my whole next album. And he was like, wow. He was like, you're Ain't. He's like, actually, I do know. I know about Ain't. Ain't is amazing. And I was like, wow, wait, you're Big John. We had a sideline conversation, and she sat there and listened to us, and yeah, I just told her, like, I already know, like, this is meant to be, so I'm not gonna waste any time. I said it to her like we had already talked about it. I was just like, I'm tired of going back and forth with you about it. I'm finna do that. And so it was kind of like, that's how I am. I'm just me 100%. I don't know who else to be, how else to be. I'm just me. So I took the opportunity, and then she loved it. She was just like, yeah, this girl's authentic. And that's all I could do, is just be myself 100% of the time,
You worked on three tracks on the first installment of Beyoncé's three-act masterpiece, Thick, Alien Superstar, and Summer Renaissance. I kind of want to walk through a little bit of those tracks and kind of understand the creative process that went into both penning, and I believe you also produced on Thick. So I want to start with Alien Superstar. How did you get into the groove and really help pen that piece?
It's really Beyoncé. She's a producer. She's not just an artist. So it's like when you're working with someone like her, it's just like she brings you into her world. And, she just is like, you guys collaborate. And she says, this is what I'm thinking. This is how I'm feeling. This is what I got. And then, you kind of just see how you can help. It was such a creative song. And like when she brought it to me, I was just like, what the fuck is this? And then it just became a crazy, one of the craziest fan favorite songs ever.
So when you're working with artists, especially someone like Beyonce, what are like the steps? Like step one is they will bring you the track and then you write to it, or is it a collaborative effort? So like what kind of goes into writing
It's
it?
always different. It's always different. I tell people, like, being a creative isn't walking a straight line. I wish it were same time every time. That way you could just already know what to do, what to expect. But it doesn't work like that. It just every inspiration comes at any moment. Changes happen at any moment. You have to be like water. You have to be fluid. You have to be adaptable and adjustable. And you have to let the creativity do its thing. And you have to let, the producer, Beyonce, do her thing and kind of let it unfold and let it wind. And you may start with an idea, start with the inspiration, and then she might take it somewhere else, and then you might redo it, and you might, so it's really a collaborative process. She knows what she wants. She knows what she hears. She hears everything in a certain way. It's kind of freaky how her ear actually works. So, you have to let her have the room to put it all together. And then, like I said, you just come in and see how you can fit the creativity in to make it better and make it actually what she wants.
Has that track, specifically Alien Superstar, were there previous versions of that song that you saw kind of change into something else? Like, was the concept different at any point, or did you guys know going into it that this is the concept and we're just tweaking things here and there?
Yeah, well, she kind of like did a surprise, for me, of like hearing different parts of the song, and then they all kind of came together at the end. So that's the good part. It's actually fun working with her, because it's like you never know what she's gonna do. So you can come in one day and it's different, and you come in the next day or something like that. She's like, oh, I switched this, switch that, switch that. So it's really like her masterpiece, which is so crazy. It literally comes from her her head and what she hears, and then she'll take different parts and kind of arrange it how she sees fit, and then I might be surprised the next day, you know. So it's really like, oh shit, this is what we doing, bet. And then you're like, damn, this is actually fire, right? And so it takes you on a journey, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's a journeyer, you know. So it always builds until it freaking explodes.
First of all, you're definitely a writer, because the way you speak is like poetry, just so you know. Like, definitely, yeah. Definitely a writer.
I'm in the right field.
Yeah, there you go. So
I'm a songwriter by day, wrong writer by night.
Hey. I also want to talk, I have to talk about my favorite track, Thick. Can we like, okay.
Thick is for the streets.
Yes, it is. Because when you hear Renaissance in its entirety, you know, house based, it's very much elements of disco, like very much that. And then when you hear Thick, it's like, oh, we're hip hop now. Oh, we're bringing hip hop back into the track. And it got to the point where fans are like, you know, putting up signs at concerts saying justice for Thick, because they wanted Thick to be played. So when you saw those signs, like, what was your reaction to that?
But seeing that, I was like, y'all get it. See, when it comes to the people in the streets, one thing about it, the streets always get it. And that's what I love. And she listens to that, you know what I'm saying? Because she's from Houston. She's from Texas. She's from, you know, where we all came from, and that what we all represent. She represents the same thing. So when she out there, she's like, damn, justice for Thick. Maybe they right. I do got to bring Thick back. So this is like, you know, ass getting bigger. It's like cash getting larger. Like, thought he was looking me good. I told him go harder. It's like, that's always like her attitude. You know, this is like, no matter what the music is, she always gonna give it to you with her attitude. And it's just like, yeah, that's what we need, that grit. It's like, you know what I'm saying, being that house, it's like the walls all around the house aren't the same size, they aren't the same length, but they still hold the house up. And so that's what she's doing with the sound. And it's just like, you got the hip-hop elements, you got the bass elements, you got the drum and bass elements, you know what I'm saying, you got the soul pocket, you got the rapping, but then you got the club, the underground vibe. Then you got that Chicago house, you got the Baltimore house, you know, you got the Jersey house, you got everything mixed together. So, you know, we couldn't leave out the hip hop. You know, she is the hip hop, you know, with
her. Hip hop, yes.
So, you know what I'm saying? When it came to that, I was just like, nah, we got to make sure we take the sound to the streets. So she surprised me with that one too, because I was like, damn, okay. I had low-key had forgot about that one. And she was like, no, we got to go with it. And when I got to the concert and I started, like, damn, what, we're not doing Thick? I'm like, oh, not doing Thick. We got to do Thin. So then they was out there with them signs. And I was like, shout out to y'all. Shout out to the Beehive. The Beehive ain't going to let you forget about shit.
Never.
The Beehive is going to come through like, mama, we know you're doing that, but this is what we need over here. And she listened and responds. And then when I came back to the show, it was crazy because the first time she did Thick was in, no, damn, it was the first or the second time, because I was in Atlanta, and it was like, oh, she performing Thick in my city tonight. It was a treat. It was a treat to see, like, oh, that's the first, I think that was the first time she did it. And I was like, oh, it's going up. Like, we in my city, and she doing Thick tonight?
She did that for you. I know it.
She did.
I was in the D.C. I went to the D.C. concert, and I was just like, there was two. There was one. The second one, it rained, but I went to the first one, and we're like, please play Thick. I waited in line for just the Thick on the booty shorts. I got those. I was like, yes, that is my song. And then with Alien Superstar, with Thick, I have to talk about Summer Renaissance, because I feel like that song sounds like the summer. Like, of course, there was pulling in inspirations, pulling in samples like crazy, but still finding a way to make it unique. When you were going into that track and you were working on that track, what was the energy that you wanted to come out of that?
Like you said, like fashion in the summer. It's like house, but like if the house was upside down and we had a runway on the roof in the summertime, and you know, the whole neighborhood was out watching the new drip drop from the top. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like innovative, but an ode to Donna Summers, you know what I'm saying? Like that, she was that girl, you know what I'm saying? And for it to be back in her time, and to mix with Beyonce, who's that girl of this time, you know, like that was just like, and then Giorgio Moroder, you know, with the doom, 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 and the Sonics, and then mixed with that heartbeat underneath. And then she came talking that fashion shit. She came talking the houses, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I love. She and I both love the fashion world. So, of course, like, I was, like, geeked out when she started spazzing about, you know, all that, all them clothing brands and everything like that. It just give you that summer, but, like, make it sweaty, make it gritty, make it, you know what I'm saying? Bring us into your world. And that's what she does so good. She brings us into her world.
Yeah.
And so it's just, like, it took you on a journey. And for it to be the outro, it just sound like a sonic morphing mesmerizing moment that all that music came to a head at the end. And then it was so perfectly done so that when the first song comes back in after Summer Renaissance, you don't even realize that the album had restarted. And now you got to play it all over again.
The transitions on that album were what everyone seemed to be hyped about. Yes. When I first heard it, it's like, wait, we're on a new song, but we're still, it's different, but it's still this, it's so cohesive. Oh,
like, come on, man. That was album of the year, man. Those transitions.
And I want to talk about that because what is going on with the Grammys? Because of course you were also part of the nominee for that track for last year's Grammy. What was your response when you heard that Renaissance was nominated?
Oh, when I heard it was nominated, I was like, okay, bet they got it right. You know, and you know, she broke history that night with the amount of wins, you know, so it was dope to be a part of that project with her that actually took her over the top for most awarded in Grammy history, or tied, to break that tie.
That was dope.
But it was just like, damn, I wanted them to get it right, because it's like, when you're doing something that hasn't been done, sometimes you won't get the respect until it's done again.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? By someone else. And it's just like, bro, if somebody else would have put that album out with all them transitions out like that, bro, that would have been album of the year. Like that, and that's what, to me, it was so disheartening, because it's like, it's album of the year. It's not song of the year, record of the year. It's album of the year. It's like, how does the album affect the culture? How does the album affect the world? How does the album, that album was so critically acclaimed because, mind you, it was COVID. And this album was the first thing that people got to experience coming back outside into the world. And for that sound to be as twisted and as Odyssey favored, and to have all those tones and patterns and pockets of rhythm where people get to express themselves, and it highlighted a genre of people, a genre of emotions, a genre of the overlooked, the underpaid, the underbooked, the people that really make the culture shift. It highlighted that pocket. And then when you have all those different types of people from different types of walks that have a soundtrack that they are able to freely express themselves to, you know, you have to celebrate that. And I think they did celebrate it because it did win a lot of Grammys, but it's just like they missed the mark on what really matters, because those transitions, let me tell you something, I still haven't heard a body of work that had those type of transitions top to bottom in each song that had the song previously before it tied into the song. You have to think about what type of work goes into that, because you already made a song, but now you have to make the ending of the song the beginning of the next song. So now you're making another song to attach it to that. And it's just like, that right there was album of the year, because show me some better transitions than that. Show me some better transitions than that. And it's like, y'all got to get it right when it comes to that. You can't experiment when it comes to Black women, because we've been setting the trends for so long. It's like, no, don't play safe now. You know what I'm saying? It's like, play ball. But, you know, I was hot when I found out when we went out of here. But,
yeah.
I mean, we had already won and took it to the home. And she always breaking records. But it's, you know, I just like to see my women and my Black culture leaders get their flowers in the proper way.
Yes, definitely. And for me, Renaissance will always be like the most iconic album for me personally. Like, that came out on my 30th, the day I turned 30, July 29th.
Yes.
My birthday.
Dang, yep. So it came on your birthday.
On my birthday, like, no, that day I will never forget. That album dropped on my birthday. I was being asked to be interviewed by NBC to talk about Beyonce. And then something was like, let me go take a pregnancy test. And I found out I was pregnant that same day. All that happened in one day. That's why I like.
Yeah. Cosmic albums. When you remember an album coming out, you're supposed to remember like where you were, what you were doing, how that affected your life, you know, and things like that. And so I just feel like that's incredible, you know, and that's what she's so good at.
Yeah.
She knows how to tie the album into people's personal journeys, personal stories.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And like you said, I know exactly where I was at when the album came out, what I was doing, how it affected my life. And it's just like, what we doing? Like, come on, baby, let's go there.
Exactly. And, you know, as perfect as that album was, I have to ask, like, were there any tracks that didn't make the album that you're like, oh, snap, what about this one? Or was there anything that, if you had the power to just add one more song or like switch out one song, like what would it be?
Honestly, I would switch out a song, but it was just like, it kind of went so perfectly together that it's like, she made me forget about the songs that didn't make it. I think now we're like, oh shit, she about to put out another album.
And that's what I want to talk about.
Quicker, we'll get the process quicker, but I think the album was perfect and I was excited.
I love that. So with that being said, Act Two, where were you at the Super Bowl when she said, you know, on that Verizon commercial, like, drop the music? Like, where were you?
That was crazy. I was in Vegas.
Wow.
Turned up at Resorts World. And now we had a party over there for the Super Bowl so we could watch it. And it went crazy. I knew she was, like, going to do something because we was in the studio. And then she kept changing and making, you know, working on the plot. And then out of nowhere, she was like, I'm going to do Super Bowl. And I was like, but it's like, if you know Beyonce, like, she is very ideas, opinionated. Like, and when she has an idea, she'll stick to it. But then sometimes you're like, is this real? Is this really happening? So I try not to get too excited. I try to just, like, stay grounded and let it happen. And then I'll be like, oh. You know what I'm saying? So when she said it, it just kind of didn't register. It was like, did she just say? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just stay focused on my task. And I'm just going to let that pass. Because it's like, if you start thinking about it too much, it might not happen. She might be like, oh, we're switching the plan, you know? And then, shoot, when she did that, I was just like, oh, this is what she meant. No, she did the thing. And it was kind of crazy. Like, going from Renaissance, which was so outer spacely, sonically, other world driven, to come and then say, boom, new music drop, was iconic in itself. And it's just like, we never seen Beyonce in that light. We never seen Beyonce like Super Bowl commercial in a while type of stuff. So for her to do that, I just thought that was so brilliant. Then boom, both songs came out and people were calling me. Mind you, we were still partying, you know, watching the game. And so she's like, she did that in the middle of the game. And we were still partying. So people were calling like, yo, the song is crazy. The song, oh, 16 carriages, the song of the year. We're like, what is this? They didn't know how to take it. They just knew that she did the unthinkable, which was crazy because I also had a commercial with J-Lo as well. I was in the Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
So it's just like, damn, two Super Bowl commercials, music dropped that night. I mean, Usher, you know, my brother from Atlanta. It was just like, I just felt like Atlanta had, we just won Super Bowl. You know,
yeah,
it was just like, whoa. It was crazy.
So
yeah,
with,
that was trippy.
16 Carriages is such a, it's such a departure from the energy of Renaissance. You know, Renaissance is, let's just party, have a good time, like summertime. And I feel like, even though Texas Hold'em is also, you know, has like a dance, it's a dance vibe. It's very much rooted in home, like it's a home vibe, like it's cowboys and aliens, but it's like if aliens is out of this world, like pulling all these different elements together and like creating something new. Act Two seems to be, I've only heard two songs of course, seems to be like a return of self. So when you were helping, well, when you like, because you wrote and produced on 16 Carriages, correct?
Yeah, the first song, like, we ever did.
So like what was the process in that, and like how did it differ going into it compared to when you worked on Act One?
So a lot of people don't know we actually had this first. So imagine like having this timeless classic music first and having to wait. And then she came up with Act One. And then decided to was like, okay, let's put out Act One. Because Act One, like I said, we came through COVID. You know, that got us through COVID. So we came out of being isolated into back into the world, right? From no parties to finally expressing ourselves, going to the underground scene. Everybody's just happy to be out of the house. Everybody happy to have human connection again, to experiencing this music together, right? And to say, okay, now we've been out into the world again. Now we're going through life again, right? Now we have a new set of obstacles to face, a new set of things that we all are working through in our personal journeys and our personal stories, right? That's kind of woven into and in and out of the music. And it's like, now she takes you to a place of, this type of music is going to get you through now that we're back. Like, what is the music that's going to hold on to your soul and hold on to you to get you through what the challenges that we're facing? And it's just like, the other music feels like we had a solar return and we are shooting off into a solar flare, but now we've landed back on that planet in this wild, desolate place of self-discovery, self-reinvention, back to the core. You know, this is the core. This is the sound. The song is the core. The lyrics are the core. The melody is the core. The roots, you know, taking you from other planets and shooting you back to your roots. Mm. You know, it's amazing when you can be out of this world, but you can still be grounded. Mm. You know, and that's what she is too. So it's just amazing to kind of get both of those feels. And it's like, baby, we don't do just one thing. We do everything and we do it well. That's what she's letting you know. This is her Southern roots. This is her Texas roots. You know what I'm saying? This is my Georgia roots. You know what I'm saying? This is what we've always done. It's just, we've always been able to experiment and we've always been able to go outside of the box because they told us we never fit in that box anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're not used to boxes, but they're used to putting us into boxes.
Yeah.
And so what she did with that was, Take it to the home, take it to the people, take it to the kinfolk, take it to the back porch, take it to the hoedown, take it to the celebration of freedom and expression. And, you know, when they always try to put you in a box, you know, you got to close that box up and send it back home. And that's what she did. Those stories matter. That representation matters. That sound matters. You know, this sound is Black music. This is what we started.
Yeah.
And for her to just come with such a storytelling of her life, you know, 16 Carriages, like, that was one of my favorite songs I've ever made and produced in all of my life because it's so personal.
Yeah.
And I love to see her in that personal light, you know, and when people are like calling like, oh, that song when she said, mama crying and daddy lying and mama, you know, like, that hits home for people because people are like, that's what I went through. You know what I'm saying? It's not all about being in the club, being in dancing, or I got this, I got that, let's party tonight. Sometimes it's about hitting that core and saying, no, this is what's getting me through life. This is what I had to grow up with. This is what I dealt with. And I think that gives people something to hold on to because we all going through the same thing at the end of the day. But now it's just different when you got the biggest artists in the world speaking on this level and bringing it to the roots. You know,
for that track, there's so many people online trying to really understand it because, again, like, Beyonce has always been a very, of course, very public figure, probably one of the most public figures of our generation, but also always remains private. And she always lets herself shine through her music, which is something I totally respect. For 16 Carriages, a lot of people were trying to decipher what, on TikTok, on Twitter, trying to decipher what those 16 carriages were. Like, some have said, like, oh, it's, you know, the tour trucks going across the country as she's, like, leaving home. Others are saying that 16 carriages could be a funeral procession, like something that's dying and coming back.
The horses, the horses carrying, you know, the bodies in the processions. Yeah, I saw that too. I've been seeing so many interpretations. And I think that's what makes it beautiful. You know, Texas is like, you know what it's about. You know, it's straight up and down. You get it. You know, it's like fun, dancey. And then 16 is the abstract. What does this mean? What does she mean when she says this? What does she mean when she sang that note like that with that rim? And, you know, she didn't go all over. It was just real.
Yeah.
Follow the story. It was about follow the story.
It was trotting, so, almost like with the horses. It was trotting along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sonically. Yeah, it was. And it was a build, you know, and when those drums hit, you know, a lot of people were putting the float in it, like, oh, that came in. I just felt myself just exalt, you know. But I think that's the beautiful part of it. It's interpretive, you know. Of course, she has her personal meaning, what that is. And that's not for me to tell. That's, you got to stay tuned and see what she tells you guys about it, because she will. She will most definitely show you. And I think as well, when you get the visuals and when you get to see her live, you'll have more clues and more pieces. But I think the great part about it is my favorite songs are more so the songs that I'm like, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. And it forces you to make your own personal meaning. Just like how she says, you guys are the visuals. Like, you don't get the visuals yet.
I don't want to be the visuals. I want her visuals, though. When are they coming?
She gonna give you the visuals, but it's like the iPod. Remember when we first had an iPod? Mm-hmm. You didn't have the video in the iPod. Yes. You had to listen to the music. We're going back to the iPod. We're going back to the just scrolling and let the song show you. Let the song show you. And I think we've become just so like video, movie, video, that sometimes we don't get to interpret the music as purely as it should be, you know? So I think that was brilliant that she allowed the music to actually have this moment, because, you know, once you put the video out, it's like people are just, that's all they care about.
Yeah.
So she just wanted you guys to like listen to the actual music and put your personal stories on. So 16 is like your personal story, you know, what it represents to you. It's a lot with the number, but, you know, I think she did a great job of just like letting y'all just like, because, you know, she watching the internet, but it's just funny.
I know she is. I have theories about her accounts. I have theories, but I'll keep them to myself. But I know she's there.
She's there. She's never too far from what's going on in the streets and what's going on, you know, with the Hive.
Yeah, with the Hive.
Interpret it, you know, it's interpretation at its finest.
Now we talked about how act one was more like we outside, and then act two is more actually we inside and ourselves. A lot of people are already, they can't even wait for 329. They can't wait for the release date. They're already 10, 20 steps ahead because people aren't
ready.
So there's been talk in the streets that act one was dance, act two is country, is act three rock? It's like, what are we doing? Like, do we know?
See, y'all skipping. Y'all done skipped the act three. See, we got to get to act two first. And then see, act two going to lead you to act three.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? Okay. So it's just like, I know it's hard because it's like, wow, she gave us a real date. So now we got a real date to just sit home, wait on it to drop. You know, I think the dope part about her is that she really loves music. Like, she really loved the whole process. She's a very, very, very hard worker. So it's just like, sometimes I don't even know what's going on until it happens. And I think that's the child in me that's like, stays excited as well. Cause it's like, yeah, you are working on music, but it is an exciting process. Cause, you know, I still am like a fan too. I'm just like, oh, what's the final going to really be like? How is it all going to come together? But it's special. And like I said, we had some of this music to even start before. This was 16 was the very first song that we did together. And so we had that song for years. When I tell you years, that was the song that started us together. She's like, okay, you are. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we are here. And then we just rocking ever since. So that's a special song. Like,
yeah, the lyrics I think hint at that, because I believe she in the song said that she was 38 summers. So
yeah, 38 summers since I've been in my bed. Yeah.
Yeah. So at least the five years probably that song has been exactly. Just sitting.
Wow. Just imagine just going through it every day, just thinking about this song and when is it coming out? But I'm happy it's out, and I'm happy that, you know, and TikTok is doing its thing. And
TikTok loves it. The charts love it. It's both tracks, of course. You know, Texas Hold'em's been sitting pretty at the number one spot in the billboards for 3 weeks in a row, and 16 Carriage is also charted. And the public reception has been crazy because it's, of course, it's charting, it's doing amazing, fans love it. But then we have traditionalists in the country space that don't want to hear Beyonce tracks on the radio. I believe there was one fan who called into their radio station, I believe it was Oklahoma, demanding, like, hey, can you play Texas Hold'em? Can you play 16 Carriages? And they got an email back from the radio station saying, we don't play Beyonce on country radio. Why do you think that despite all the things that have been achieved by Beyonce, despite Renaissance charting like crazy, despite these two country, very country tracks doing extremely well with public reception, that there's still hesitancy? Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, some people have their own world, and that's all that they have. Mm-hmm. And when they have that own world, they feel threatened when other people who don't look like them, talk like them, walk like them, sound like them, open up the gate to that world and say, actually, the world is a lot bigger than that.
Yeah.
And this is where it started, and this is the roots of it. Us as a people, that's always what we've represented. We've always been a Southern folk, a storytelling people, oral traditions. We've always been that. And it's like, just because we leave the gate for a little bit to act on our other talents, don't mean we're not coming back home, baby. Like, this is what we do. And so it's just like, they gotta get over it. It's like they playing it now, because once they felt that kickback, they was like, oh, we gotta press play. And it's just like, no, you gonna press play, don't play with us. You know what I'm saying? Because these are real country folks. Like, these are real stories. These are real, like, real music. And it's just like, this is our music. Like, right. You know, the banjo was created, you know,
in Africa.
Black. Exactly.
In Africa, that's came it. Through in the transatlantic slave trade. Yep.
All of that. So all the rhythms, that's where they get it from. Bluegrass, all of that comes from the gospel, from all of that. So it's just like, it don't get no more countryer than us.
Do you see that this is going to be like a resurgence of country music? I'm assuming that we're going to hear more country tracks on Act Two. Are we looking to see like more collabs, like in the future? Had a crystal ball,
absolutely. 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 Because, you know, I'm on the ground, and it's been a real country network, from Randy Savage to Raina Roberts to Tana Adele to Willie Jones to Mickey Gruten to Brittany Spencer, Kane Brown, Breland, Blanco Brown, myself, a lot of us in that network, even in Nashville, even in Atlanta, even in pockets like that, have been doing this for a while, have been doing this. We've been playing our guitar. We've been telling our stories. We've been making it cool. And so I think Beyonce, she just tapped in. So she sees that, she knows that, and she knows that she identifies with that as well. So she's just kicking the door down even brighter, even better. You know, when the Super Bowl comes to your city, the whole city wins, the whole city makes money. You know, when the Olympics comes to town, everyone prospers, you know, everyone benefits from that. And so it's the same thing. These girls there and guys, their stats are going up because of Beyonce shedding the light on that.
It is. And it's so funny that you mentioned Tanner Adele, because I love her. I've been
love Tanner.
Blasting Buckle Bunny for a while now. Her tracks have actually seen, I believe I saw on Spotify, I think it was 150% increase since Beyonce released her track. So that's just another example of kind of like what you were saying, as in when one shines, the others shine too. So it's so exciting to see that. So exciting.
Yep. So yeah, I love that. Tanner's so sweet. Like, she is a doll. I just talked to her the other day on FaceTime, and she's like, when are you coming to Nashville? So I plan to definitely get in there with her and help her as much as I can, because I believe in her. She's the star. And that's what is exciting. It's like, when you have people that have been doing this and been working their butts off and just really just focused on them, when you do the work where you are in you, and other people are doing the work and where they are in them, they come together, and you're going to be ready. So she's ready, you know, she's ready. Like, now is the moment, and she's getting that moment. And a lot of people are noticing her and a lot of other artists like that. So, you know, that's what I'm excited about. That's what I'm excited about. You know what I'm saying?
So beyond your work with Beyonce, what are you doing next? What's the next installment for you?
Oh, baby, I'm taking it all the way to the top, to the drip drop. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing the unthinkable and the unfathomable. I'm finishing up these couple of important projects that are really important to me. And then I'm focusing on my artists. So I'm getting ready to drop my single soon. I put my singles are going to be out. And, you know, got my usual cowboy hats and my cowboy boots on and everything like that. So y'all know I'm coming with the Wild Wild West. Y'all know I'm coming with the Wild Wild West. And I got some crazy features coming up. Just did an amazing record as well with Chainsmokers, with Zurb.
Wow.
So I'm always in multiple spaces at once. And I'm just occupying space. I'm taking my land back. And now it's getting ready to see the actual fruits of the labor.